Welcome back to the Going Going Gooner podcast, brought to you by your party station, Z89. This is episode 33, and I am your host, Kyle. I am not joined today by Arjun. Arjun cannot be here for this episode. It is going to be a very quick recap of the Euros match day 2, which I know everyone was watching all these matches, especially the one we're going to talk about at the end, which was Portugal-Germany, which is my, so far, match of the tournament. What a match it was, but we're going to get to that in a little bit. But to start off, this is going to be a quick recap of match day 2. I'm recording this about an hour before match day 3 starts, before Italy kicks off against Wales, I believe, is the first match, along with Turkey and Switzerland. So I'm going to walk you through the entire match day 2, how it went, and there was a lot of craziness. A lot of teams did not turn up match day 1, and a lot did turn up match day 2. And we're going to discuss those right now on the Going Going Gooner podcast. Again, make sure to check us out on Twitter at GGGoonerPod. Throughout the match day 2 and match day 1, we've been putting out different tweets about the different goals being scored, the updates as we've been going through the tournament, where the top golden boot winners are, where everything is right now. So please check us out on Twitter at GGGoonerPod. We'll have all things Euros, Copa America stuff will be coming out shortly. We're also going to have a lot of New Orleans Saints stuff happening with training camp getting back underway, full swing of things. So here we go, Group A, and at the Euros, Turkey, Wales, Italy, and Switzerland. This week we had Turkey, Wales. Wales ended up winning 2-0 in a renaissance for Wales. This is the Welsh team we have seen for years. This is the team we saw at Euro 2016 that made a run to the semifinals. This was vintage Gareth Bale, vintage Aaron Ramsey up front for the Welsh national team. Turkey could not stop them. Turkey just did not play a good match. Wales very clearly were the better side. They deserve to win this. If Wales can do this and turn up with Gareth Bale and Aaron Ramsey in about 45 minutes against Italy, it's going to make it a very interesting match. But the Italians, I would probably say, are the favorites from this group easily right now. They've locked up qualification into the next round. They won 3-0 versus Switzerland. This match wasn't close. A 3-0 scoreline almost is nice to Switzerland. Manuel Locatelli put in 2 for Italy. The last was Ciro Immobile. The striker finally got his goal. And this match wasn't close. I'm sorry, Switzerland. I love Switzerland. We love Granit Xhaka. We love Gerardon Shaqiri. We love Brilembolo. But this wasn't even close. Italy ran riot against Switzerland. They had chances galore. Immobile didn't finish all of them off. Locatelli, with 2 beautiful goals to start off with, was wonderful. And Immobile's goal was late on in the match. And Italy are very clearly one of the favorites to win the tournament. They defensively very sound. Their midfield is strong. And they're missing their best player in Marco Verratti. They're missing him, and they still play this well. I mean, what else can you say about them? I would say the only issue is going to be, as we discussed with a lot of different teams, their striker. Ciro Immobile had a boatload of chances to finish, and he only finished off 1 at the end of the match. He had about 3 that he pulled wide, curled wide, everything. And if he can't finish, Italy are in trouble against a team that's more clinical than Switzerland were. Switzerland did not create many chances. They didn't get much going forward. I'm not convinced by them. They need Shaqiri to turn up. That's the major thing for them. If they get Shaqiri to turn up how we have seen him play at the last few Euros, World Cup, competitions, everything. If he can turn up, they will be fine. But he has not gotten a lot of first-team football at Liverpool, obviously. And that clearly is hurting him. That even at Euro 2016, when he was playing for Stoke, he was getting like normal game time and he was playing well. The World Cup, he was still playing well, getting game time. And he's not right now at Liverpool. And you could clearly tell because he just seems out of it. He seems out of form. He's not making the same plays he used to be. And I'm kind of worried, to be quite honest with you, about Switzerland. Wales, I think you're going to end up going through as the second team to qualify. But it's not set in stone that currently Wales have 4 points. So obviously they're up over Switzerland. But a good Swiss victory, and if Wales lose to Italy, this could be a very interesting one. That if, say, Wales lose by 2 or 3 to Italy, if Italy keep their track record of 3-0s so far, they've done it twice, say if they win 3-0, Wales drop to -1. If Switzerland can beat Turkey by more than 2, then they go through as the second spot in the group, and Wales drop to 3rd, which is not going to be fun for them. Turkey are all but out of the competition at this point. They would need a heck of a result and to get lucky as one of the four of the 6 third-place teams to qualify through. But as it stands, Italy have 6 points, Wales have 4, Switzerland with 1, Turkey with nothing. Switzerland need to score and to do well against Turkey. I don't know if it's going to happen or not. Turkey, obviously, were everyone's dark horse team in the tournament. Arjun and I weren't fully convinced by them, and rightfully so, it seems. Switzerland were my almost dark horse team because of Shaqiri and Mbolo. They just play well all the time, and that didn't work out quite well now, did it? But moving on from Italy, Wales, Turkey, Switzerland, which, again, I think Italy will beat Wales. I think Switzerland will beat Turkey, but I think Italy and Wales will be the top 2 qualifiers. Switzerland will hope that they can get through as a third-place team, but we'll find out later. But moving on to Group B, which is a lot more interesting. We start with the Finland-Russia match, which ended 1-0 for Russia over Finland. Finland had a goal disallowed for being offsides. Joel Poyanpol had another great goal. It was just off by a little bit. Brought back. Russia then go down. They score through Alexei Miranchuk in the 45th minute. And that's all she wrote. Russia got the victory. This group got real funky because now Russia and Finland both are on 3 points. They are 2nd and 3rd, with Russia obviously ahead of Finland due to the win over the Finns. But this group is dominated by Belgium, who played against Denmark again in Group B on the 17th of June. And for Denmark, I want to quickly note Christian Eriksen is out of the hospital. He is healthy. He's going to be wearing a patch over his heart to make sure that his heart is okay throughout matches, the same as what Daley Blind does for the Dutch. Everything clicks in my mind. But he is fine. He is healthy, which is good to hear. And this match against Belgium started out really great for Denmark. 2 minutes in, Yusuf Poulsen gets the ball, slots it home, and the crowd went nuts. I went nuts. Arjun went nuts. Everyone went crazy. Denmark pulled ahead 1-0. And they had that for 50-ish minutes. Then Torgan Hazard scored in the 55th minute. Just after super sub Kevin De Bruyne came on. Then he assisted Torgan Hazard. And then 70th minute, the ball gets played across to Kevin De Bruyne, who is just on the outside of the box with his left foot, first time, curls it round Kasper Schmeichel and scores. And people forget just how good Kevin De Bruyne is. I saw so many people just discussing Belgium without him because he wasn't playing in the first match and they looked so good, etc., etc. Kevin De Bruyne is the best player on this Belgian team, and it's not close. He is great with his right foot, great with his left foot, great with literally everything. There is nothing this man cannot do. He is a change of pace. He picks out the right passes. He runs at defenders. He does not miss the target when he shoots. Belgium are the greatest show on turf for a reason, and that is Kevin De Bruyne. That if you can bring him, they brought in, I believe it was Eden Hazard, Axel Witsel, and Kevin De Bruyne in the 50th minute as subs. Imagine being able to do that very casually. You know what? We're going to bring Eden Hazard on. You know what? We're going to bring Kevin De Bruyne on to subs. May as well do it. Why not? I don't see why not. That's crazy. That's insane. If you said that to anybody else, they'd be like, that's not fair. Because it's not fair. De Bruyne on his own is one of the best players in the world. He's the best midfielder in the world. And you bring him on as a super sub? He's going to obviously be starting the matches, I would assume, most likely, in their next match against Finland. But, man, that's not fair. Belgium, again, alongside Italy, are 2 of the favorites currently in the tournament because they're just too good. For Denmark, you do have to feel bad, though, because they played so well in this match. When KDB came on, it torched Belgium. Denmark had full control for 45 minutes. Second half came around, KDB came on, and it was just a wrap at that point. So Belgium got the 3 points. The group now sits Belgium with 6, Russia and Finland each with 3, Denmark with none. Denmark need a result and need it now. They needed it last week, but they need it now to even have a shot, but they're generally not going to be able to qualify. Feels bad for the Danish. And this now takes us to Group C, which is one of the more interesting groups, I would have to say. Arjun and I obviously discussed how the Netherlands-Austria match would be the biggest match of the tournament for at least these two teams so far, and it was. This match meant everything to these two teams. The two top teams in the group going at it. Along with them was Ukraine versus North Macedonia. We'll start there before we get to the bigger match. Ukraine came out to play. Andriy Yarmolenko and Alexei Yaremchuk, they're just too good. Right now, Ukraine going forward is a very scary beast. Going back, they are somewhat sound, but going forward, they're just scary. Yarmolenko and Yaremchuk are both on 2 goals, I believe, at the moment, and they're both firing them in from everywhere. So I'd be scared if I was anyone coming up against this Ukraine side if they do qualify through to the knockouts, because they, going forward, are very dangerous. Alioski scored the 1 goal for North Macedonia, the player from Leeds. It did not amount to much. North Macedonia can now not qualify for the next round, which is sad to see. This is their first Euros ever, and they played well. They just came up against tough teams in a tough group. But Ukraine got all 3 points. They are up to 2nd now in the Group C table, right behind Netherlands, who in their match against Austria just kind of dominated. This wasn't really a crazy match. Austria didn't play great. Netherlands played better. I didn't fully watch the match. Memphis Depay scored in the 11th minute from a penalty. And then Denzel Dumfries got his 2nd goal of the tournament in the 67th minute. This kid is playing lights out at right back. He's playing real well. People are discussing his goals in the wrong way. He's getting to the right location. He's getting to the right spot. As we will discuss with a fullback later on in the Germany-Portugal match. But he's playing real well. And he's lining himself up to be one of the top players in the tournament so far. Then Netherlands got the 2-0 victory over Austria, who are now lacking and falling behind, which is not great to see for them, because they do need to get all 3 points come their next match against, I believe it's Ukraine. They are going to need this victory over Ukraine to get 6 points and to be through. Because if they don't win and Ukraine does, Ukraine's going through. And Austria's left on the outside looking in. A draw would suit them well. It would just about keep them in. But a victory is what they're looking for. And Austria did not play very well at all in this match. Again, I am stuck on the fact that David Alaba played as a center back, which I understand he's playing as a central center back between Dragovic and Hinteregger, but that's not where he's best used for an Austrian team that needs more creativity. Sabitzer can only do so much on his own. Leimer and Schlager just didn't do enough. You need Alaba to be almost a CDM, that he should realistically be playing as the central CDM, which is what he does half the time, but he should be playing farther up the pitch. I would even say put him at central mid, left wing, something, because he's not best used at center back. So Netherlands obviously are through to the next round. It's a matter of which spot they end up taking. And now this takes us to Group D. Croatia, Czech Republic, England, and Scotland. The first match, Croatia versus the Czech Republic. Again, 37th minute, that man, Patrick Schick, one of the top goal scorers in the tournament, tied for first on the Golden Boot race with 3 in 2 matches. He scored the penalty, he converted it. I mean, what else do you expect from the man? He's playing lights out right now. And then in the 47th minute, we saw vintage Croatia. We saw a great counterattack, finished off by an Ivan Perisic rocket with his right foot into the top corner, past the Czech keeper Vaklic. And it was vintage Croatia, but was it too little too late is the question we have to ask now, because that means they They are now on 1 point. Croatia, the Czech are on 4. The Czech Republic are generally going to be through unless calamity happens in the last round. But they played well, the Czech Republic. Schick got the goal they needed him to. They could not contain Croatia throughout the match, but that happens. The other match, England versus Scotland, a match born out of rivalry, a match of two of the United Kingdom. Scotland played well. England did not play well. England just was poor everywhere. I don't know what else to say, to be honest. They had a few chances off the post. I know a John Stones header got close. But Scotland played well. The man of the match was Kieran Tierney. You have heard us discuss him time and time again on this podcast. He is just so good at what he does. And for Scotland, he lined up at center back and he just played lights out. There was nothing the English team could do. Harry Kane, the first man on the team sheet for England, got subbed off, which was probably the biggest what I've ever seen. Marcus Rashford came on. England, we said they didn't impress us the first time through. They did not do it again. I don't get where Gareth Southgate is going with this squad, because I don't understand why Jack Grealish isn't starting. I don't get why Jadon Sancho isn't even on the bench. It makes no sense. England need to step it up if they want to get through, because their next match is against the Czech. If Czech Republic win and then, say, Scotland get a victory over Croatia, England's down to third, which ain't the best spot to be in if I was England. So they got to get a victory here in Group D, or they could be out, because currently the Czech and England are each on 4. The Czech have better goal differentials, so they are above England in first. And then it's Croatia in third, and Scotland in fourth, each with 1. This group got a lot more interesting as the time went. But Group E is where a big team, Spain, did not play well. They played Poland. Spain dominated possession, dominated everything else like we expected them to. They just couldn't finish. They could not finish anything off. It is a clear issue with having Alvaro Morata up front. Gerard Moreno played on the wing. He brought something different to the match, but Morata just, it's not there for him up front. They did have one penalty chance. Gerard Moreno stepped up. It was 1-1. Moreno steps up in the 58th minute, puts it off the post. Morata comes in from the back, and it hits off his heel and goes wide. Szczesny thanking the heavens for that. It ended 1-1 with Lewandowski getting the goal for Poland. It was another Lewandowski goal. He headed it in. I mean, what else do you expect from the man? Spain, though, I'm not convinced by this team. I'm not convinced by them. We haven't been. We will not continue to be. They're just not great right now. They're not playing well up front, and that's their biggest issue. They don't have a striker. And as we said with Italy, you need a striker. Belgium have Lukaku, who has 2 goals. I mean, you need someone up front, and they don't have that. But a team that does have that, which I personally was surprised how well they've played so far, was Sweden. Sweden won their match, or they drew their match, or no, they won. Don't mind me, folks. They won 1-0 over Slovakia. Emil Forsberg put a 77th minute penalty away, but he was not man of the match. The man of the match was the striker, Alex Isak, again. He's just dynamic up front. If Spain had him, oh my gosh, this would be a different story. He is so good at what he does. He's so technically gifted. He is a player to watch out for the future. He currently is at Sociedad, I believe on loan from Borussia Dortmund. If I was teams that need a striker, I'd be looking at him right now. Because if Dortmund sell Haaland, Isak is the next man up. He is their striker of the future. He's just so good. Dynamic, can run well, is scarily fast, is quite tall and tricky with his feet. So I would be watching out for him in the transfer rumors come the end of the tournament. But they beat Slovakia, who didn't play great. And Sweden are now top of the group with 4, Slovakia with 3, Spain with 2, Poland with 1. Spain not through yet. They go up against Slovakia next. And if the Slovaks can beat Spain, This gets real funky for Spain now, don't it? And this brings us now to Group F, which had two of the best matches of football I have seen in quite a long time. This obviously is the group of death. Everyone discussed it beforehand. Myself, Arjun discussed it on here. It is France, Germany, Portugal, Hungary. A group of craziness, realistically. France, the odds-on favorite to win the Euros. They went up against Hungary in the first match of Group F, the match day two. And you would not guess what happened. They drew 1-1. Attila Fiola for Hungary, 45th minute, finished off a great attack, slotting past Hugo Lloris, putting Hungary ahead 1-0. France's one goal came from Lloris in the 66th minute, booting the ball long to Mbappe, who runs on, taps it across, a deflection off Willy Orban, sets up Griezmann to finish it from a counterattack, and it ended 1-1. It ended like that. France did not look great. They, as I said last week, I'm not convinced France are the best. Like, they're the best team of the tournament. That's clear. I'm not convinced they're going to win. France have this just something about them that it feels like they're just not going to get it done when it matters. That's what it felt like this match. It looked like they walked into it thinking, easy 3 points. Let's get the 3 points and get out of here. They couldn't finish anything off. Mbappe is just the best player on the pitch for them. He was crazy good. He had multiple chances. He just barely missed. But France just couldn't get it done. And Hungary really could have got all 3 points from this match, to be quite honest with you. I was shocked they almost didn't. I thought they would hold on to grab all three. But the Mbappe to Griezmann goal just kind of hurt them in a different way. But props to Hungary. They got the draw. France now on 4 points. Hungary on one. There is every possible outcome in this group is still up for grabs. France could finish anywhere from 1 to 3. They cannot finish fourth. Germany, Portugal, and Hungary can all win the group, which I think is the craziest thing to hear. And France, I'm just not convinced by them. They have too many issues across the board. They just don't look great going forward, to be honest. They look sideways the entire time. Tolisso off the bench wasn't great. Dembele was quite good, a good change of pace for them. But I'm just not convinced by this French team. Obviously, they're world champions, and I've said that about a lot of people. They're, not convincing. This French team just look like they're missing something. They look like they're missing the drive to go and win it, which doesn't make sense to me. But that now brings us to the final match of match day two, which was a barn burner of a match. Portugal-Germany. I watched the entirety of this match, and from start to finish, I was enthralled. For the first 14 minutes, Germany had it all going for them. They were going forward well. They were attacking well. They put in great crosses. They had a goal disallowed for being offsides, but they played so well. And then a corner for Germany was headed out. Portugal started counterattack through Bernardo Silva, through Diogo Jota, through Cristiano Ronaldo. The three of them darting forward. The ball is played into Jota, who taps it to Ronaldo, who taps it in for the 1-0 goal against the run of play. And at this point, all of a sudden, you're like, oh no, Germany are going to collapse. We've seen this story before. But they didn't. Germany put the pressure right back on Portugal and scored two own goals. The Portuguese did for Germany. Both, I wouldn't say, were horrific own goals by Portugal. They were what you'd expect an own goal to be if it was a good one. Ruben Dias with one, Rafael Guerreiro with another, 35th, 39th minute apiece. That, all of a sudden, was the, oh my gosh, they're back in this, Germany. It ended 4-2. Kai Havertz, 51st minute. Robin Gosens, who I'll talk about in a second, in the 60th minute. And Diogo Jota for Portugal in the 67th minute made it 4-2. The German side proved a lot of things about them that we had questions about last episode. The big question marks myself and Arjun had were, one, can they finish? Can they be clinical? And two, will this wingback system work? Will Gosens and Will Kimmich work at wingbacks? And I'm going to read off a text I got from Arjun to discuss on this episode, which is that he is apologizing for dissing the German left backs. Not dissing, but underestimating. We both underestimated the German wing backs and how they played. Obviously, Kimmich, one of the best holding midfielders in the world, has played a lot at right back for Bayern Munich. Robin Gosens, the left wing back for Germany, plays a similar position for Atalanta, who scored 12 goals for them this season. And that is a big thing to keep in mind. Because the first match against France, it felt like Gosens was the one trying to set up Kimmich with the long balls. Trying to play Kimmich in to be the runner. And that's not what he's good at, Kimmich or Gosens. And in this match, it swapped. Kimmich was the one playing the ball across to Gosens. And Gosens was the man of the match. There was, I would guess, about 10 chances he created that legitimately could have been goals. He scored the first goal in the 8th minute or so that was called back for offsides. He scored that one. He then got one or two of the assists. He got a goal. This man played lights out at left wing back. If he plays like this and Kimmich plays as well as he did, they don't need a striker up front. I'm not convinced Havertz can play up front, but he played dang well today. He played well. Germany played well. Gosens and Kimmich at wing back, I don't know if it's going to work still past this point, but they proved us wrong. They played really well. And Germany got 3 points they needed. Portugal, not happy with how that match turned out. They played well, but they just were outclassed by the Germans. Now, France have 4 points. Germany have 3. They have the tiebreaker over Portugal, who have 3, are in third. Hungary with 1. The final match from this group, match day 3, the final matches are Germany, Hungary, and Portugal, France. These are two matches to be watching, folks. Because if France can, if France fall to Portugal and Germany get any results against Hungary, this group gets real wild real quick. Hungary could even qualify through if they beat Germany. I mean, it's just wild. I don't know what to say. I don't know what else to say. The current top golden boot getters, by the way, I'll quickly put this in. Ronaldo and Patrick Schick are tied with 3 goals apiece. I just don't know what to think, to be honest with you. Watching these matches, is a pleasure. I have missed watching tournament football. It is beautiful. It is a beautiful sight to see. When it comes to favorites in the tournament, after watching match day 2, if I was a betting man, I'm looking at Italy. I'm looking at Belgium, probably number 1. I'm looking at the Group F teams, Germany, Portugal, France, because those 3 plus Belgium plus Italy are the teams I'd watch. I probably would say right now the favorites for me are Belgium, just because of how well they played as of KDB coming on, and he'll start the rest of the tournament. Him coming on signified how good they are. So if I was a betting man, I'd be looking at Belgium and Italy as the top 2 teams in the tournament. But make sure to follow us on Twitter at GGGoonerPod. Next week, Arjun will be back, so it's not just me rambling to all of you fine listeners out there. Match day 3, going to start in about 20 minutes. Hopefully, I can get this episode uploaded in time for that. But I would watch out for Belgium. They are probably my danger team. We will have a full breakdown of match day 3 going into the round of 16 next week, myself and Arjun. Thank you for listening to the Going Going Winter podcast. From all of us here, myself and Arjun and everyone else behind the scenes, thank you. More Euros to come. I'm excited. I know you are too. Let's get it, baby. Euros. Let's go for it.